Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Heard right here on this station, David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number to call is 254-629-2622. That's 254-629-2622. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our host, David Harris and Tom Moore.
I preach at the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas, and we invite you to come and visit us any and every time that you're in this area. We are excited because we're on a new radio program and a new radio station, KETX 97.7 FM and KWBY 98.5 and 107.9 out of Stephenville and Eastland. Now, this is a live call-in talk show. We're going to be bringing up topics and that are very near and dear to a lot of people in this particular area of the country, to every American, you might say. And we want you to be a participant in this radio program. There's several ways that you can do this. You can call the question or your comment to 254-629-2621. That's 254-629-2621. We have people manning the telephones there. They're going to get with us. We are still in the process of converting a few things over. There will be a time in the near future when you'll be able to call us again live on the telephone. We'll be able to talk to you live on the station. But right now, where it's going to have to be relayed to us. So if you'll call that number and give them your question or your comment, they'll get to us. Or you can go to the email. You yourself and type in questions at harrisonmoore.org. Questions at Harris, A-N-D, Moore, M-O-O-R-E.org. Or you can go to our webpage and you can just click on the harrisandmoore.org questions, harrisonmoore.org, and you can type it in right there. So there are several ways that you can get to us. We encourage you to pick up the phone, make the call, get on the internet, and get on the web page. Get on the email and send us your questions or your comments. You can also if you have a smartphone, an iPhone, you can go to the HPR network and you can follow the instructions there and you can listen to us live on the on your cell phone, on your iPhone, if you will. We have been talking for the last several weeks about authority. One more additional thing that I forgot to mention. We do have additional sponsors. Besides the Hillcrest Congregation in Stephenville, Texas, and then Hamilton, we have the Churches of Christ in Bangs, Texas, and De Leon, Texas, and in Dublin, Texas, and in Rising Star. These are our additional sponsors. We encourage you, if you are in that area, to go see these, or go visit these congregations and listen to a good gospel sermon and worship with them. They'd love to have you come and visit with them on a Sunday or Wednesday night. So there are several things that we've got going here. We are in the middle of talking about the authority of God. It is a very, very essential thing to everyone who considers himself, herself to be a Christian, to appeal to the authority of God for everything that we do. In other words, we've got to get our authority from God, and the only way that we're going to do that is to get back to the Bible. Now, for the last several weeks, we have talked about getting back to the Bible for our doctrine. We have talked about getting back to the Bible for our authority, for everything that we do, instead of doing something because we like it. Let's do something because God said it was the right thing to do. And then we started a couple of weeks ago talking about getting back to the Bible for our moral standards. And this is where we are today. And it is a very, very important topic that we have here, getting back to the Bible for our moral standards, because we are in a situation here in the United States of America right now, in our societies, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, moral standards have basically fallen out into the streets, haven't they, Tom?
You're exactly right. You know, and the apostle's words, John, the apostle's words really rings true in our day. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness."
What does that mean?
Well, you just look around the world and it seems like there's evil on every side of us.
You
look at the TV and you see evil. You see television shows and movies and music screaming loudly of wickedness and corruption. And they just continue to flood the airways. And we see rapes and homosexuality and adultery and the clothing. Well, just almost everything around us, David, is just clothed in wickedness. And it's easy to see for those who are trying to live a godly life. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah also talks about a time when it was almost like that in his day. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 12, David, it says, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush."
Neither could they blush. And this has to do not only with those who were committing the wickedness or the immorality, but those that were around them that were witnessing the wickedness and the immorality. No one could blush. No one dared blush. And you look at where we're headed today, and the openness of adultery, and the openness of homosexuality, and the openness of same-sex marriage, they don't have a blush in them, because evidently they do not think that there's anything immorally wrong with this.
You know exactly, David, and you hit the nail on the head when you said not only those who are involved in those things no longer blush, but we have become so desensitized to some of these things that it doesn't bother those who claim to be godly and claim to be Christians and claim to be moral. It's gotten to be where it didn't even bother them anymore because, well, that's, you know, they just don't worry about it anymore. But that's a situation where we have allowed the world to influence us.
Right. And, you know, you were talking about things coming on our television screen. There are things that come on our television screens, and I know that we've talked about this before, but we would not allow to happen in our living rooms. If it were happening live in our living room, we would not allow it to take place. But we turn on our television set and we open it up and we allow this to come into our television or into our living rooms, into our abodes, right there in front of our children, and we allow things to be said that we wouldn't allow other people to say in our house. We would kick them out of our houses if they said things like that. And doing things on television, the nudity, the adultery, the fornication, the homosexuality that is taking place on television, and this is what has been raising generations of our children.
Exactly. And, you know, as you mentioned, David, if you had a neighbor, next-door neighbor, say a 25-year-old girl, and she is just knocked-down gorgeous, would you allow her to come in your living room and undress in front of your kids?
No.
Well, you would kick her out real quick. And yet, when we turn on the television, that's exactly what takes place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to realize that it's not just the world who's involved in the wickedness that we need to be concerned about, but also we who are striving to be moral, that we don't allow these things to become so commonplace that it does not even bother us anymore, that we lose the ability to blush.
So what we've got to do here, and what we're talking about, what we have been talking about, is getting back to the Bible. We've got to get back to the Bible for our authority. We've got to get back to the Bible for our morality. And even though those words moral and immoral are not mentioned in the King James Version of the Bible, even the King James Versions have an awful lot to say with these topics. Now, we're talking about that which is right according to God, not that which is right according to society. There is our standard. There is why we're saying we've got to get back to the Bible. Our motto on this program has always been, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now, the reason we say that is because we want God's take on this. We don't want man's take on it. If we get back to what God has said, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine in everything that we do. But if we don't have any authority from God to do what we're doing, we better check it out and make sure that we're doing it the right way. And the only way that we can do it the right way is to appeal to the Word of God.
Exactly. And that's what's got us into trouble. We got away from God's law
mm-hmm.
and started doing things our own way. Well, you know, one of the major emphases of David in the Bible is that we be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word holy is found as some 611 times in the Bible in 544 verses. Now, David, that shows us the emphasis that God puts on holiness and thereby the emphasis that he puts on us being a people who are moral.
Right.
And so we've got to realize the importance of that. Now, the word holy in the Hebrew means sacred, ceremonial and moral. And so it has the idea of being set apart. In the New Testament, the word holy comes from the Greek word hagios and means to be sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or pure religiously and ceremonially. It means to be consecrated. Well, David, when you look in the Old Testament, for example, as we begin our thoughts here, in passages like Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, and Leviticus 19, verse 2, and Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, all of these verses tell us that God is holy, and we also need to be a people who are holy.
As a matter of fact, let me just read one of these passages, okay. Exodus 19 and 6. He says, "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel." I want you to be, he says, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, under the New Testament, every Christian is a priest. And the nation of Christianity that he's talking about here is that holy nation that he expects us to be.
Exactly. And when you look in the Scriptures, David, you will see that holiness in the highest sense belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice in Psalm 111, verse 9, it says, "He hath sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." That is our example. That is the pinnacle of holiness. God is, and we are to strive to be holy like he is. Now, we can never reach that perfection because we're human beings,
mm-hmm.
but that is our ideal goal. God, we are to live as much like him as we possibly can. "Be ye holy," the Lord says, "for I am holy."
Well, it's interesting that the scriptures there, the 119th Psalm, he says, "Holy and reverend is his name." The only time that word reverend is used in the entire Bible is to describe God. It is not a term that is to be applied to man, but that's a whole other program that we can get into one of these days. But nevertheless, holy and reverend is his name, and we are to be like him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, "But as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, these are exhortations from the Holy Spirit to every one of us that call ourselves a Christian. And for those of you who are in a position to open your Bibles, I would encourage you to look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, because here we have a description of every true Christian. You call yourself a Christian, this needs to fit you right here. In verse number 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." So to be holy is to be moral. To be unholy is to be immoral. And what we've got in this world is a tremendous amount of immorality. Now, we are setting the stage for something, so don't y'all don't get antsy out there, those of you that are listening to us. Instead, pick up the phone and call and get in on the conversation. The number to call is 629-2621. That is 254-629-2621. Or you can email us at
questions@harrisonmore.org.
That's okay. That's it. questions@harrisonmore.org. Now, we have an awful lot of immorality in the world. And we have spoken in times past about the immorality coming from the very top and filtering its way down to the man on the street. So we're supposed to keep ourselves as Christians, as people who consider themselves Christians, we are supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's a biblical phrase that we have there, Tom.
Exactly. And you'll notice in James chapter 1 in verse 27, James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You know, really, David, that's just another way of saying be holy. That's just another way of saying I want you to be people who are moral. I don't want you to be like the world. I want you to be different from the world.
Mm-hmm.
Be separate from the world. Be holy. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. And, you know, we understand what it is to get our clothes dirty or to get our bodies dirty. Well, many people in the world are getting their spiritual lives filthy and dirty with the immorality of the world. And the Bible says very clearly we are not to do that. After all, David, who is our authority in this world? Isn't it God's Word that tells us how we're to live and what morality really is?
Sure it is. And this is the reason that we keep throwing our motto out there. You have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. This is not your opinion. It's not my opinion. And we don't need another opinion of another man or another psychologist or another psychiatrist or another counselor out there. What we need is to go back to the good Word of God and direct our lives thereby. Now, when we look at Romans chapter 12, it keeps going on with this same theme that we've been talking about here. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we're told that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Then we are told in James chapter 1 to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Then we go to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, and there we read, and be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. We've got to prove it by the way that we act and by the way that we live. So we don't want to conform ourselves to the world or to what men would have us to do, but instead conform our lives and our mind and to what God would have us to do. We're no better than what we think. We're no better than what we know.
And therein lies a problem, David, because too many people in the world are trying to be conformed to the world.
Yeah.
And that means the word conform there has the idea of being fashioned after, to take the appearance of another. And he says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be fashioned like they are. But he says, rather, be transformed. Now, that word transform comes from the Greek word metamorpho, where we get our English word metamorphosis. And we know what that is, David. It's when a caterpillar makes a cocoon and it goes through that transformation. It makes a radical change. It goes through a metamorphosis. It turns from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And he says you, as God's people, need to have that kind of radical change, so different from the world as a caterpillar is from a butterfly, make a radical change. Be different from the world. But the trouble is, David, when we look around the world is not trying to be different. They're not trying to be holy. They're not trying to be godlike. And, David, I believe we have a perfect example of what we're talking about in regard with the Democratic convention that just took place this past week.
No doubt. And what we're talking about, and if those of you, and by the way, this is a live call-in talk show, we would invite you to call into the studio. They're waiting for your phone call over there. Give them something to do, 254-629-2621, or email us your questions at questions@harrisandmore.org. What Tom is making reference to, and before we get there, I want to back up just one more time. He's talking about that transformation that we need to go through as a Christian. That is a dramatic change that's got to take place. We do this by following the revealed will of God. Right there in your Bible. That's how we make that transformation. It's not my will anymore. It's not your will anymore. It's God's will in you. When we get there.
Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
Right. And now we're going to see how people act when they direct their steps. Now, when we're talking about this this Democratic convention, this happened on the television just the other day. Anybody could have seen it anywhere, anytime. But what happened was the Democratic platform had taken the word God or any reference to God completely out of the Democratic National Platform. In addition to that, they took another part out that said that they did not want to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And in addition to this, they wanted to make sure that everybody knew that the abortion rights of women would be part of their platform, paid for by those who couldn't afford it with the tax money of those who can. All of this was in the platform. And so they got some heat on it, the Democratic committee that put the platform together, with the approval of our president of the United States of America. He knew exactly what was on this platform.
And by the way, David, yes. if the president does not know, if you're going to run on a platform, don't you think that you would need to know what is in that platform?
Well, most likely. Well, most definitely.
How ridiculous would it be for the president, which people have said that he did not know what was in there, but that would be just totally ridiculous. He is running on this platform. It is his foundation of his political agenda. And if he does not know it's in there, well, that's just pure obscenity.
Right.
And so he knew good and well what was in this platform.
Well, now, you counted the page. What, 22 pages of the platform? Is that correct?
Something no, like it's that? More like 70 pages.
Okay, 70 pages in this platform. After the Democratic National Convention got started, they started catching some heat because they took the word God and all the references to God out, and they took Jerusalem. They refused to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So when they started catching heat over this, they decided to change their position on this, and they asked for a vote. They went down to the convention floor and asked for a vote. All of those who were in favor of changing the amendment to put God back in, they asked for a vocal a vote.
And it had to be a two-thirds majority.
And then they got all of the yays. And then they said, now, those opposed to putting God back in there, those opposed, and they got just as many noes as they did yays. They took the vote three different times, and three different times, at least half of the people there at the Democratic convention wanted God out of the platform. They wanted God out. And the chairman of the Democratic National Convention refused to pay attention to what he heard, and he went ahead and adopted the amendment to put it back in. And at that point, they started booing him for doing that, because he didn't listen to the will of the people. The fact of the matter is, they were upset with the fact that they didn't listen to them, but they were also equally upset that they put God back in. Either way, what we have here is something that I never thought I would hear or see in my lifetime in this United States of America, people wanting God completely out of the way.
Exactly. And you know, David, these delegates here, These are ones who have kind of were chosen by the people over a period of time, from their local areas to the district areas to the state areas, and finally they were the ones who were really selected by the Democratic people to represent their state. And so they are supposed to be representing what the people want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, if we have here some 50% of these people not wanting God in their platform, that tells us just how much of a horrible situation we're in.
Well, sure it does. And here we've been talking about authority and from whence it comes. Where does it come from? It comes from God.
Exactly.
So we're talking about authority coming from God. We're talking about morality coming from God, because morality does not come from people. Now, we've just got about 5 minutes before our break, and we want to remind you again that this is a live call-in talk show, 254-629-2621, or you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. Now, what I would like to ask, Tom, is this, and for all of you listening out there, when we look at this nation that we're in, and we're doing one of the wonderful things that we're allowed to do in the United States of America because of the freedom that we now have, and that is to elect our leaders through a process of democracy. And so we are considered to be a Christian nation. I want to believe that we are a Christian nation. I want to believe that with all my heart. But when I hear 50% of a bunch of delegates say no to God, I now begin to question this myself. Are we or aren't we? How many generations have gone by now that do not know what God has to say, do not care what God has to say, and more than that, they want him out of the way?
Well, look at it this way, David. Can a person honestly say that God belongs in their platform if they're killing little children by abortion?
Well, that, and this brings up a good point, Tom. When we look at this Democratic platform, let's just throw Democrats out of the way. Let's throw Republicans out of the way. Let's throw Libertarians out of the way. Let's throw any other political party completely out of the way, and let's just say we've got a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, here's my question. Is this platform of God, or is it of the world? Number one, we've got abortion on this platform. Is that of God, or is that of the world? Is that morality according to God, or is that immorality according to the world?
Well, you know, last week, David, we gave all kinds of verses and proved emphatically from the scriptures that abortion is nothing else but murder, and God condemns it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to be a part of something God condemns, does God really belong in your platform?
Well, evidently not. And then we go to the next one. We have the upholding in this Democratic platform, we have the upholding of the homosexual lifestyle. Now, we ask the question again, is this of God, or does this come from the wickedness of man?
Again, last week, David, we gave quite a few verses proving beyond a shadow of a doubt, Romans chapter 1, 26 through 27, for example, where God condemns such action. If God condemns it, well, does God, and they put that homosexual marriage is all right in their platform, does God really belong in their platform? You see, we're getting farther and farther away from God. You know, and they were all upset because God was not in their platform, but David, I doubt that he was there in the first place, even if they put it there, because they're putting so many things in there that are contrary to what God says. Even if he put him there, he could not be there.
Right. Well, in this very same platform, we have homosexual marriages and marriages of equal marriage. They want to make them the same and just as valid and wholesome as marriage equality, which means that these homosexual marriages that are instated, they want them to be able to adopt children,
mm-hmm.
have the same rights to adopt children.
You know what bothers me a lot about this, David, this homosexuality and abortion, is that in regard to abortion, according to the Democratic platform,
mm-hmm.
if a person is not able to afford an abortion, the government will pay for it. That means, David, you and I are paying for this.
Even though we are adamantly opposed to it, and even though everyone out there listening to this program who is adamantly opposed to this, still going to have to foot the bill.
And that's not right.
No, it's not.
It is not right. I don't want to have to be a part of this, and yet by the government being willing to pay for these by those who simply could not control themselves, they are taking our money and killing people, and I do not like that one bit.
One more thing in this Democratic National Platform. You have government-funded gay rights organizations that promote radical homosexual agendas, funded again by you and I and everybody else that is out there that is totally and adamantly opposed to this kind of lifestyle, this kind of immorality that is forced upon our children, taught in our school systems, and now part of a law that says that it's they've got to have more than equality. They can't just be treated like regular people. Now we've got a hate crimes law to protect anybody that might not like what they're doing.
And not only that, David, President Obama in that platform said that he makes a vow that he is going to stop any nation who says that homosexuality is against the law. Now, that tells you he knew what was in the platform because it says he's vowing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's about time for us to take a break, and so we're thankful that you're with us so far. Remember that this is a live call-in talk show. You can email us, but remember you are listening to the HPRN Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some spare water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship had struck an iceberg, that there was no cause for alarm and everything would be all right. They thought that all was fine and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God." Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and biblical application to our lives. Please call with any questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition for the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and my good friend and partner on this program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we also want you to remember that we're also in partners with, and initial sponsors would be the Bang Church of Christ, DeLeon, Dublin, Rising Star, all Churches of Christ who are a vital part of this work. And we also want to remember the 4th and Stewart congregation. Ryan Smithy there is the preacher, and he is our webmaster, and he is the one who is responsible and does such a great job for on our webpage. And so we're thankful for the good work that he does as well. Remember, this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, we encourage you to do so at 254-629-2621. Or probably even better right now would be for you to email us a question until we get our phone system taken care of. But you can email any kind of question or comments you have at questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can simply go to our webpage at harrisonmoore.org, and you can see a little link there that you can click on, and you will be able to email any question or comment that come right in here to us. Now, remember that our motto is, we have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible says. Now, we have been talking today about morality and the Bible. We've talked about how that the Bible really does not mention verbatimly the word moral in the King James or the American Standard Version, but it does emphasize the need for morality throughout its pages. For example, phrases like holiness, God is holy, and we're supposed to be holy as He is holy. There's also the phrase being unspotted from the world also carries the idea of being moral people. And we left off talking about an example of what the Bible tells us happens when we get away from God. The Democratic platform, David, has gotten away from God and has beginning to put in as some of their platform the promoting of the killing of babies through abortion, the promoting of disallowing God's view of what marriage is between a man and a woman by saying it's all right for man and man to be married or woman and woman, and therefore sanctioning those very things that God condemns. And everybody got up in an uproar because God was left out of their platform. Well, I don't care if they put it back in there or not. It's still not in there when they're living up to and have things like abortion and homosexuality in their platform. They can put the G-O-D letters in there all they want, but God's still not going to be in their platform as long as they're going against what God's moral law says.
Right. And we, once again, we want to remind you that this is not about Democrats. This is not about Republicans. This is not about Libertarians. This is not about any political party. This is about a people. I don't care who you are. A people that has a platform, a political platform on which they stand, which advocates the murder of unborn children and advocates and promotes marriage of same sex and advocates and promotes the adoption of children into that horrendous lifestyle.
And, you know, and David, this can be easily verified. All those preachers on the radio, they don't know what they're talking about. All you have to do is Google the Democratic platform, and you will have word for word what they believe, and I guarantee what we're telling you is in there.
Now, let's just say, for instance, if I want to support a candidate who believes in this platform, who stands on this platform, is he then not my representative?
Exactly. And how can we vote for somebody who is standing for the very thing we're opposed to? Now, David, Christian people, people who believe in the Bible, cannot and will not be for the killing of little children or killing of babies by abortion. They will not be for, they cannot be for, those who are involved in homosexual fornication. They will not, they cannot be for that marriage, which is between a man and a man or a woman and a woman, because those are contrary to God's law. And if you are voting for a man who are for those things, David, that says you are too voting and are for those things.
Well, I think there's some very interesting wording that we're using here, and I do not apologize for it at all, because everything that is listed here in this platform, and let's just refrain from calling it a political platform, everything that is in this platform is anti the Word of God. Is that not right?
Exactly.
Okay, if it's anti the Word of God, that would be anti-Christ. Is that not true?
Mm-hmm.
So it's either going to be anti-Christ or it's going to be for Christ. One of the two. You can't have it any other way, can you?
No, you can't. Now, notice, David, in the book of 2 John,
mm-hmm.
verse 9, there's only one chapter in 2 John, so chapter 1, verse 9, beginning there, it says, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house and give him no greeting, for he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works."
Would you back up there and read verse, I don't know whether it's verse 7 or verse 8.
Verse 7, in that same chapter,
yes.
I'll begin in verse 7. "For many deceivers are gone into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist."
This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. They do not believe in Jesus the Christ, that he came in the flesh. He is against Christ.
You know, any doctrine that is opposed to Christ makes you opposed to Christ himself. And he says here that if they bring this teaching, we're not to have anything to do with them. Now, if you have a political candidate and he is espousing things that are contrary to God's law, and you go ahead and vote for him, John says you are a partaker in his deeds.
Well, there's no doubt about it. No, absolutely no doubt about it. Now, God's words are there to guide us.
Exactly.
They help make us who we are. Our character is built upon our acceptance or our rejection of God's word. And he wants us to be a moral people. He wants us to be a holy people. We've already talked about that. We've discussed this. It is the word of God is authoritative. It is powerful. It will make us what God wants us to be, not what we think we ought to be, but what God wants us to be.
Now, here's what we need to be really concerned with, David, I believe. You know, sometimes people are so concerned with economics, with health care, with, you know, things of that nature, and there's some concern there. But to me, David, that is not the most important issue here.
No.
The most important issue is morality. And whenever we are going against God's morals, well, as a matter of fact, we're told Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, I believe, that righteousness exalteth the nation, sin is a reproach to any people. So if we want our nation to be great, it's not going to be because of economics. It's not going to be because of our military might. It's not going to be because of our health care system. It's going to be because of our morality. That's what makes a nation great in the sight of God. And that's what is going to make a nation that is going to be blessed by God.
Well, we have become a nation that has taken for granted that, yes, we may be the most powerful nation in the earth. And we get this idea that we are invincible. And all we've got to do is go back and read those things that were written aforetime, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. They were written for our learning. For these individuals that in the day of Jeremiah, in chapter 20, 21, and 22, in those days they thought they were invincible. God sent Jeremiah right straight to the king, right straight to the leader of all the people. And when he went there, he told him, he said, "Look, because you have disregarded God's word, I'm going to allow you to be destroyed and wiped off of the face of this earth." Just completely cleaned out. And they were allowed, God allowed them to be taken into captivity. Oh, he allowed them to return, but they returned under somebody else's rule. Under somebody else's rule. Now, when we look at this, we see that those people then thought that they were invincible without God. They didn't want God's word governing them. They wanted to govern themselves. And we have the same scenario right here today. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse number 10, let's back up to verse number 8. Isaiah, through God, or God through Isaiah, says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it.
So we've got to realize then, David, that it's God's way or no way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, his ways are so much higher than our ways, we can't even compare to that. You know, and so we've got to realize concerning moral issues, the Bible and it alone has to be our standard for what is right and wrong. It is our sole guide in religion. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer says it in this way, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning verse 12, "For the word of God is living and acting and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do." In other words, David, God's word is the moral standard. Everyone in the world lays at the foot of Jesus, and everyone must abide by his moral standard. And then when we get away from that, then you start coming up with all of these platforms that people are coming up with that are just so far removed, as far as the east is from the west,
well,
from God.
It's interesting that you made mention there that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And in this, it lays bare, it lays naked all things. In other words, nothing is hidden from God. Nothing. So when a man says, well, you know, I'm going to vote for a man that kills babies, I'm going to vote for a man who likes to endorse homosexual marriage, but, you know, there's a plan behind this, because if I vote for this guy, then he's going to increase my Social Security check.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to do that so I can survive in a better way myself. I don't care if this country goes into absolute and total squalor and immorality. I'm going to get my Social Security check until I die, and my kids and my grandkids can just spit in the wind if they want to, because they're just going to have to figure out a way to survive here themselves.
You know, and that is a mentality where people are more concerned with their own personal wants and wishes than they are concerned about the wishes and the wants and the demands of God. We have just simply taken God out of the picture, and we need to get back to the Bible. We have heard what men have said. We know what they want, but we need to listen to what God has to say. You know, Solomon said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And we've got to realize that. You know, David, when we think about morality and the our nation and how what we need to do to survive and be pleasing in God's sight, one noted historian said this: of 22 civilizations that have appeared in history, 19 of them collapsed when they reached the moral state the United States is in now.
Wow.
And so that tells us, friends, right now, we need to start turning the tide. No longer be traveling down this road, but right now, drive in our peg and say, we're going to go in the opposite direction. We're going to go back to God. We're going to put God's moral standard in our lives and quit abiding by what man says.
Well, this is something that is very near and dear to me. I love my country. I really do love my country, and I fear for my country right now. I'm more afraid of us losing our freedom in this country than I've ever been in my life. I'm 58 years old. No, I take that back. I just turned 59 years old. I'm sorry. And I forget how old I am. But I have never been as worried about my country as I am now. And one of the things that really worries me, well, two of the things that really worries me, the the people that are jockeying for political positions and governmental positions to govern us, they don't care what God's word has to say. And in addition to this, they are making the bad things sound as if they are good. They are talking about the abortion rights for these women, and they're saying these women ought to have the right to control their own bodies. They ought to have the right to say and do and do whatever they want to do. These things are good. It's good for a woman to have the choice to have an abortion. It's good for a woman to be able to have the government pay for all of her contraceptives so that she can be immoral just as long as she wants to be, that she can be involved in this heterosexual fornication, not the homosexual fornication, but the heterosexual fornication, and be able to protect herself, and this, the government ought to be able to pay for that. What is wrong with all of this? They are barking and they are screaming and they're crying about these rights that they think that they must have, and they're making something that is absolutely immoral and abhorrent to sound as if it were something that they really, really need, and it is good.
You know, we have no right to be immoral.
No, we do not.
You know, when you look at the scriptures, David, God is our master,
mm-hmm.
and we are his servants. We are his slaves, and we have no right to do anything that's contrary to his will. And as you mentioned, they're calling those things now that are evil, they're calling good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that was nothing new, because way back in the days of Isaiah chapter 5, beginning verse 20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own eyes," or in their own sight. And so we have the very thing. Well, you know, things really don't change, do they,
no,
David?
They don't.
From way back in the Old Testament to this very day, men are always constantly striving to do things their own way as opposed to God's way. And when we do that, David, our nation is going to falter. And we as individuals are going to suffer the consequences of immoral leaders who refuse to put God into the picture.
Well, another thing that really is an aggravating situation, and we're talking about the immorality that exists in this country right now. We go out of our way to elect somebody that we assume will stand up for our rights and stand up for the way that we think and the way that we believe. And then we get them up there among all of those other people, and they act like they're ashamed to do that which is right in the sight of God. They act like it's a shameful thing to do. And what they want to do is appear to be compassionate, because if you don't agree to what they're saying, well, then you're a very uncompassionate person, you're an uncaring person, you're a hateful individual. If we don't agree, or if they don't agree to what these individuals are trying to do in an immoral way, then they are bigoted, or they are involved in some kind of a hateful scheme. But what we need is people with a backbone, because God's morals will require that. It takes a whole lot more to be strong and moral than it does to be weak, temperately, and immoral. Anybody can be immoral. A dog can be immoral. It takes a man and a woman to be moral. And morally right, and they act like they're ashamed of the word of God. But we go back to the Bible again in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, what Paul said to the church at Rome there at that particular time was highly immoral, and he made the statement. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then he went on to say, "For therein," in the gospel, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith," from God's system of faith to our own personal faith. And when we can apply God's system of faith to our own personal faith, we're not going to have any problem with immorality.
Exactly. And you know, and that's the key to everything, David. Again, it is not the health care. It is not the military's power.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the welfare system, any kind of economical status that's going to make us great and powerful. What's going to make us great and powerful, and what's going to make us successful, is getting back to God's moral standard, the Bible. And I guarantee, David, if we'll be doing what God says, we'll be taken care of, and financially, we'll be taken care of healthcare-wise, economic-wise, military-wise, because God will be for us and behind us if we're abiding by His law. And as I mentioned a moment ago, all of those nations that had faltered and went to ruin when they reached the moral state America is now. Now, David, if that didn't cause us to be afraid and cause us to want to make a change and be have enough courage to set forth the gospel and His message to the people of our world, nothing will.
No, but you're very true about that. You're very right about that. Now, we've been talking about immorality. We've been talking about morality, immorality. That which is moral is that which is holy. That which is right according to God. Now, there is a way that seems right in a man's eyes, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, there are a lot of people in this world that are confused about how to become a Christian.
That's right.
And we need to understand that God has a standard that by which we must comply in order to become a Christian. And it's a little bit different than a lot of people have heard. Now, our motto again, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. In order for anybody, and anybody can become a Christian, first of all, they must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in order to believe that, they're going to have to hear it.
That's right.
Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I must have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but the only way that I can possibly know that is through God's revealed word. No other way I can know that.
So the word of God is the very beginning point in all this, right?
Exactly.
God's word brings about faith. And without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing in the sight of God. But we also realize, David, when we look into the scriptures, not only must we believe that He is the Christ, but we must also be willing to repent of our sins.
That's that change you were talking about, that transformation.
Luke 13, verse 3 says, nay, except you repent, they shall all likewise perish. And so you're going to have to make that radical change, that metamorphosis of life. You're going to have to change from doing those things that are contrary to God's law to abiding in God's law. You know, David, that might be the most difficult part of this whole transition from being a non-Christian to a Christian, being willing to make a change.
Well, we've got to change from that which is immoral to that which is moral, that which is holy, that which is right in the eyes of God. When we do that, when we make that change, we're nearly there.
That's right.
We're nearly there. All we've got to do then is confess the sweet name of God, Jesus Christ, before men. That is, not be ashamed of Him, not be ashamed of Christ as being the Son of God, but willingly confessing that before men. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But then, we're not there yet.
Exactly. That same Jesus whom we are to confess, He said in Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And He says, if you don't believe this, you shall be damned. He connects there, David, baptism with belief. You can't separate the two. And so Jesus says, baptism. And Peter said in Acts 2, verse 38, to be baptized for the remission of our sins, to have our sins washed away.
It has a purpose.
It adds, when they did that, David, in Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added them to His church. And so we've got to realize then, David, that we're going to have to hear God's word, believe in it, believe in Jesus. We're going to be willing to confess, repent of our sins, confess His name, be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. But then, David, there's still some other things that we need to do to gain that eternal home with the Lord.
Well, this gets us right back to where we started. Because when we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, having our sins washed away, we come up out of that water holy, acceptable to God. That's what we were talking about when we first began this study today on the biblical morality. It's all about the holiness. That's where we start. At that point, we have access to prayers, to the prayer, and to the power of God through prayer, and so we can pray, but we've got to get back in the Bible because we've got to understand what is God's will. If we don't understand that, we will not know what is right, what is moral, and what is holy.
Exactly. And so, David, we've got to get back to God's moral standard using His Word as our sole guide. And if we want our nation to be the kind of nation that it ought to be, we've got to get back to the Word of God.
We're just about out of time, Tom. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want you to be sure and tune in next week again. Same time, same place. God bless America.
ABC News
and
Now.
I'm Tom.
God bless
you. You are listening to the HBRN Network.
Thank you for tuning in for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 254-629-2622. The number again, 254-629-2622. Or email your questions to questions@harrisandmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore, Expedition Through the Bible. Heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station and the HPR Network. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR Network or any of its agents.